How are those people who are affected by the shutdown of the government dealing with it? I mean, obviously, if you are relying on a paycheck and it doesn't come in, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to talk right now with Evan Feinberg, Executive Director of Stand Together. And this is a venture philanthropy network and social change platform dedicated to breaking the cycle of poverty. They're trying to help people during this time of the shutdown and, of course, beyond as well. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Evan, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much. And let me go ahead and give the website. It is stand-together.org. But go ahead and tell us about yourself. And again, thank you for being on.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jerry. As you mentioned, our organization, Stand Together, is really focused on helping people to break the cycle of poverty and improve their lives. And so it's not so much about emergency relief efforts, but instead, what's it take to help people to transform their lives, to tap into their unique gifts and talents, to contribute and to lift themselves out of poverty. But the government shutdown is just another example of just how difficult it is for many Americans to break the barriers that are facing them and to realize their full potential. And we see that in things like, as you mentioned, folks are often living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes.
8 out of 10 workers today are living paycheck to paycheck. So this really highlights the problems we see across the country.
Yeah. And I'm sure credit card debt doesn't help and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Financial debt is one of the most significant barriers to opportunity. Folks find themselves in a little bit of debt, and then they can't make those payments, and it spirals out of control. Often, situational poverty in this country leads to persistent poverty in this country. So we have a poverty line that hasn't budged in 60 years. 40 million Americans today are living in poverty. That's 15% of the country. But I think even more importantly, 18 million Americans are living in persistent poverty, as in they're stuck.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your own background and then a little bit about the organization itself, and then we could talk about the shutdown people, how you're trying to help in the interim.
Sure. Well, I helped launch Stand Together a little over 3 years ago now, and it's a growing organization that works with 118 social entrepreneur-led nonprofits across the country that are doing innovative and exciting things to help people to lift themselves out of poverty. We don't think we have the answers here at Stand Together, but we believe there are social entrepreneurs in communities across the country that are doing incredible work, and we help them to do more, to help more people to improve their lives.
Okay, why don't we stop right there? Just give us a specific example. You don't have to name names, but you know, like what kind of entrepreneur are you talking about? And just one example.
Well, a great example that's working in the space that we're talking about today is a group called the Family Independence Initiative. They're out of the Bay Area in California, but have expanded to different cities, places across the Midwest and on the East Coast. And Family Independence Initiative takes a different approach than most do to the problem of financial insecurity. As it turns out, targeted financial help can really help people who find themselves in poverty. And so the team there, Jesus and Jorge, they've built a technology platform that both enables them to release targeted short-term financial help when folks find themselves in an emergency, but also they build a social network, social capital with other individuals that are struggling with similar barriers to give each other advice and counsel and work with one another. And then they also connect them to different community resources that would help them to stem the problems that they're facing and overcome their barriers. Because, look, that just 39% of Americans say they could borrow $500 in an emergency. And if they borrow that $500, they'd need 3 months to pay it back. So a group like Family Independence Initiative is both helping them to be able to essentially borrow those dollars and build the social capital and the resources they need to overcome those barriers so that what is a short-term problem doesn't turn into a long-term problem.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's good. And again, and a little bit about your own personal background, if you would.
Sure. Well, I worked in public policy for a long time before I got into this work. I worked in the think tank world, researching and writing on education policy. I actually worked on Capitol Hill for two different senators, working on healthcare policy and education policy. I ran for office myself in Western Pennsylvania, where I grew up, just outside of Pittsburgh. But ultimately, I found this work because what I'm most passionate about is that I think that real systemic change starts one person at a time. As one person transforms their own life, as one person becomes a social entrepreneur who dedicates themselves to helping others to improve their lives, it creates these virtuous cycles across our communities where success begets success. And so the work that we do at Stand Together is really my life's calling because I believe we can transform millions of lives, and that those millions of lives that are transformed will have a ripple effect that can transform our whole country.
And I understand you believe there's a thin line between poverty and prosperity.
That's right. I think a lot of people see the problems of poverty as there are folks that have and folks that have not, and it's too simplistic, and it often treats the people that don't have as victims in need, and the world as a zero-sum game. We just need to sort of take the wealth from some and give it to others. But that's just not how it works. It is true that people have been victims of historical injustice, cultural racism, institutional racism, injustices in our criminal justice system, antipathy toward immigrants. There are so many injustices that individuals face. But the answer to those injustices is to help people to break through those barriers and realize their full potential. So we can't sort of focus on the deficiencies. We have to focus on the aptitudes and the abilities of each person to transform their life. And so it is a fine line. Individuals that are facing poverty, given the right tools and support in their communities, can transform their life and realize their full potential and really do amazing things.
Okay, so tell us now about, here we are with the shutdown, and this is being recorded during the shutdown time. We'll air a little bit later, but what are you doing with Stand Together to try and help, you know, people who are caught in the middle? Especially, I believe it's about 800,000 government workers that are without pay during this time, and in some cases, I guess in some of the airports of TSA, they're even being asked to work during this time without pay at the present.
Yeah, so in the our offices are here in the DC area, even though we're a national organization, so I see it up close right now. A number of folks who are working and not being paid, and then a number of people who are furloughed and neither working or getting paid. And as I go back to those original statistics that, you know, 8 out of 10 workers in America are working paycheck to paycheck, and that just 39% of individuals in fragile communities in this country could borrow $500 in an emergency, you can see how not getting paid for one paycheck is a pretty big problem. Not getting paid two paychecks, really big problem. And now as we're getting into the potential for losing three, four, or five paychecks, you can see how there are so many people that are hurting. You know, the role of Stand Together, though, is not to try to come up with a sweeping solution to this problem. We neither have there's no sort of place to tap into the type of resources required to help the hundreds of thousands of people who are now struggling. What we need is each and every person to step up and do what they can to help improve the lives of others. And so we need to galvanize communities on this front. So we have a number of groups that we support across the country and here in D.C. that are helping to meet needs. So I think of a group like D.C. Central Kitchen that we're working with here in D.C., but there's so many others who can be those stabilizers in communities across the country. But more importantly, what we're trying to do at Stand Together is inspire a movement and make people aware. Right now it's Poverty Awareness Month in America. We're trying to make people aware of these challenges and barriers and then encourage each and every person in their community to do what they can to help others to get back on their feet when they're hitting tough times like they are right now with the shutdown.
Hmm. Okay, you gave one example related to the kitchen, the DC kitchen. Can you give us another example or two of how Stand Together is trying to help during the shutdown?
Well, there's just a number of groups that we're supporting that are focused on everything from, you know, workforce development. So folks that are looking to, I talked to a number of folks here in D.C. who have used this opportunity to think about career change as they think about the instability of the work that they're doing in government. But we're working with 118 organizations across the country. They do incredible work in everything from, you know, workforce development and addiction recovery and in-prison and reentry work. And so a number of those groups are not focused directly on sort of the emergency relief that occurs during a government shutdown. But what we're most excited about is galvanizing a movement of the American people to care about these things. And so during the month of January, Poverty Awareness Month, we're hoping to do things. I'm doing many different interviews like this where I talk to the American people about these problems and really challenge them to do what they can to both become aware of these problems and make a difference in their communities.
You know, one thing I'm sure you have to deal with, and this has nothing to do with the shutdown per se, but there must be some kind of education for people who have gone without money for a long time to have some kind of money management. Because you'll see this where maybe a poor person from the ghetto or whatever makes it big with football, and they get tons of money and so forth, and they blow that money, and then a few years later or even a decade later or whatever, they're essentially broke, and they have no means to get that kind of money again anyway, because now their bodies can no longer play professional football. So money management, I'm sure that's a kind of an extreme example, but money management, I'm sure, must be part of what you have to do with Stand Together.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my good friends is the leader of, his name is Dr. DeForest Buster Sories. Buster.
Oh, yeah, he's a pastor in New Jersey.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've interviewed him once. Yeah, great guy.
So Buster runs an amazing group that we work with at Stand Together called D-Free, and it's a financial empowerment program that helps change mindsets and mental models around finances, personal finances, and of course they teach things like financial literacy, as you mentioned, but it's really more of a mindset shift, an empowerment program to help people think differently about themselves and their finances. And so it's enormously successful. They're reaching hundreds of thousands of people through thousands of churches across the country. It's a really incredible program. And Buster is fond of saying, you know, if it were just an issue of dollars and cents, then we couldn't explain how, you know, basketball players and football players and celebrities who make significant amounts of money on average are, you know, the average basketball player after their career is bankrupt within just a few years.
I didn't know that.
And so, as he makes those points, it's about a mindset, it's about empowerment, it's about taking control of one's finances and making good decisions. And so he makes those same points to basketball players when he's consulting with some folks, and then he makes the same points to an individual struggling to get by in their community across the country.
Yeah. It's amazing that we have so much poverty in America. I mean, defined the way you have in this little segment, in light of the fact that there is so much wealth at the same time, at least among some.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the great paradoxes of our time, but really important to focus on, that increasingly in America we have a two-tiered society. Folks that are politically well-connected and already well-off are getting ahead, and others are falling further and further behind. And I think that often the solution to that problem goes, the solutions that we hear either in political discourse or from different types of leaders is, well, either we need to rectify this two-tiered society by taking from some and giving to others, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't actually help empower people. But another set of people say to themselves, well, we just need to get folks in poverty to pick themselves up by their bootstraps. But this week we celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King's life, and toward the end of his life, an interview that on NBC News that never saw the light of day back then but is now making the rounds today, Dr. King says something really important. He says, it's cruel and unjust to tell someone to pick yourself up by your bootstraps when you've taken their boots. Mm. And so the idea of sort of just pick yourself up by your bootstraps is sort of equally unjust and ineffective.
Right.
So what we need to
We're out of time. But people can look at your website, stand-together.org. Thank you so much for being with us. Evan Feinberg, appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry.